Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, making better food accessible together for everyone. We've got that suspicious story, plus bat boxes beat the bad guys, but first, the meteorological question, what is cloud seeding? And did it play any role in the Dubai floods? The Columbia Broadcasting System asking the question and talking about stranded airline passengers and a cat submerged in floodwaters clinging to a car door handle became notable moments this week in Dubai as the normally arid city was inundated with historical levels of rain. Claims have gone viral that the deluge was brought about by cloud seeding. It was those conspiracy theorists on the internet, I bet. A technique that aims to increase precipitation that is heavily utilized in the United Arab Emirates, but is it really to blame? Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at the University of California, LA, said that getting to the bottom of the record-shattering extreme rainfall requires breaking down the science behind the event and the technique. There's currently a disconnect in the online discourse between the kind of human activities that likely did affect it, greenhouse warming, versus those which have actually been the focus of online conversation thus far, cloud seeding, and what this means for how we collectively understand our ability to actively affect the weather on different spatial and temporal scales, he said in an emailed statement. Did cloud seeding play a role? Likely no. How about climate change? Likely yes! Exclamation mark. And the other corporate experts they asked all agreed as well. Andrew Kruschek, senior researcher at Columbia Climate School, told CBS News he doesn't believe there's any current evidence at this time that cloud seeding pushed the downpour over the edge. Meteorologist Ryan Mao, former chief scientist at the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, haha, the biblical acronym of NOAA, gave the AP a more definitive answer. It most certainly was not cloud seeding. The deluge, he said, speaks more to questions around what are the resilience measures that are integrated into the urban planning standard operating procedures. And that, I believe, what he is getting to there is actually how I first learned about any of this, James. It's such a strange age we live in. We see the memes for stories first before we learn about the stories. I saw all these pictures. Why are people posting pictures of OJ? According to a meme in my members chat, to build a giant city in the desert and invest in cloud seeding to make it rain, forget to install storm drain or rainwater collection. Meanwhile, I don't know, that might be a conspiracy theory. Meanwhile, Zero Hedge does have a good post compiling a lot of tweets and videos. Did UAE's cloud seeding operation flood Dubai? It's certainly not just cloud seeding, you can actually find someone say in a place that isn't CBS. The connective clouds that are associated with the sorts of stormy weather we're facing form entirely naturally, so said UAE news website What's On. Perhaps the government playing God by fiddling with Mother Nature has unintended consequences. And I would note, yeah, for us, I imagine it's going pretty great for them. I'll include a link to Operation Popeye when they did all kinds of cloud seeding back in the good old Vietnam War. James, I've got another meme for the show notes. You wonder, why would there be like 70 years of weather treaties and, oh, we swear we won't manipulate the weather white papers if it didn't exist? Are we just conspiracy nutter butters?
Yeah, shut up, conspiracy theorists like the
UN. Why not both?
Right? Yeah, yeah, okay. Look, I'm so shocked to find that poor land use management and poor planning combined with the cloud seeding and whatever else goes on up there is somehow resulting in this catastrophic flooding. I never would suspect something. Oh, wait, of course. Yes, of course. And if this seems familiar, then congratulations, you're paying attention. If it doesn't seem familiar, I would invite you to check back into my archives from a few years ago where I talked to Joe Nova about the Australian bushfires and how they were not the result of climate change or making the weather gods angry by driving your car to work, but because of poor land management in Australia. Well, here we have essentially the equivalent out there in the desert. Yeah, no real infrastructure for dealing with heavy rains, and then heavy rains happen. Guess what's going to happen? Flooding. So I'll direct people to a couple of resources that I think are important on this. One is a What's Up With That article. No, Axios, the Dubai rain bomb has no ties to climate change, which notes that obviously the clear connection to climate change is false, but also notes that evidence suggests this was a little more than a rare weather event, which was which has happened before, according to weather history for the area, and weak city drainage infrastructure was unable to handle the excess water. And they show that the predictions, as far as a week out in advance, were already predicting heavy rain in the area because of a slow-moving and potent area of low pressure. The 24-hour forecast had 6 inches of rain forecast already at the time. So what did Dubai do when they saw those clouds out there? They decided to seed them, of course, to make it rain. And this is not conspiracy theory. We can turn to Asianet Newsable, which had an article up on this. Dubai floods explained, is cloud seeding to blame for submerging desert city? Which notes a number of things, one of which is that since the 1990s, the UAE has been actively engaged in cloud seeding efforts overseen by the National Center of Meteorology, NCM. This government agency manages the country's rain enhancement program, utilizing a network of numerous weather stations to closely monitor atmospheric conditions for seeding operations. Seeding aircraft are deployed into clouds identified as most conducive to precipitation, where they release seeding agents to stimulate rainfall. And they go on to say that Ahmed Habib, a specialist meteorologist at the aforementioned NCM, revealed to Bloomberg that seeding planes conducted 7 missions over 2 days leading up to the heavy rainfall that inundated parts of the desert nation. So, yes, absolutely, they were cloud seeding ahead of this. That's not conspiracy theory. That is just plain fact. And it was, in fact, a perfect storm, I suppose, because another meteorologist that they cite in this report, Jeff Berardelli, noted that the air was already heavily saturated with an excessive amount of dust desert, which is, of course, a natural cloud seeding agent. So they juiced up the already juiced up rain clouds that were already predicted to have catastrophic rains, and they got catastrophic rains, and they didn't have the proper infrastructure to handle it. So that is what happened. It has nothing to do with making the weather gods angry.
Interesting. See, in the state interference had me thinking back down here on Earth, here in New Mexico. Thankfully, I don't think it was last year. It was the year before that. Controlled burns by the state. Oops, get out of control and burn down half the northern New Mexico. Thanks again, governments. Yeah, without government, who would flood you and burn you out? Because remember, God said in the Bible he wouldn't destroy the world again by water. So we're good there. That's how we get going on next week, episode 552. Our second one, James, the answer does come to me in the first sentence, but I didn't get that far. I was like, who on earth is Albert Heijn? Dutch retailer Albert Heijn sets up Food Transition Advisory Council. Dutch retailer Albert Heijn, I might be mangling that, has established a Food Transition Advisory Council comprising 9 honorary independent experts from various sectors of society. Albert Heijn focuses on seeking outside perspectives and engaging in discussions with all links in the chain in line with its mission, the English translation, making better food accessible together for everyone. Merit von Egmon, CEO of Albert Heijn, Jan Willem Balk, Director of Sourcing, and Anita Schulte Oppenheimer, Director of Quality and Sustainability, will participate in the council on behalf of the management of the retail group. This is a press release, isn't it, James? As changes to the food system require a long-term effort, the retailer aims to organize discussions more structurally with external experts with different backgrounds and experiences. The council will provide solicited and unsolicited advice, come up with new ideas and initiatives, and will challenge Albert Heijn's management with an outside view. It will meet regularly to explore and discuss the role and power of food and drink in the transition towards a healthy social and, yes, sustainable society. In December last year, the Dutch supermarket chain announced plans to use plant-based PEF material for its own brand product packaging, the store brand items. The retailer is partnered with sustainable material developer Avantium for its PEF polyethylene furanoate material. Sounds tasty. A fully recyclable polymer that can be used for a variety of packaging types, making bottles, films, and textiles. Albert Heijn's new PEF fruit juice bottles will be produced by global beverage solutions provider Refresco. The bottles are anticipated to be available in stores once Avantium's commercial PEF plant commissions operations in the second half of 2024. In related news, why we should all be eating insects from AOL.com. At least that's the pitch the University of Minnesota Entomology Department made at an event called the Great Minsect Show that gave the public a chance to meet, greet, and eat some bugs. And finally, swapping red meat for herring, sardines, and salty anchovies could save 750,000 lives, a new study suggests. This one from The Guardian. Switch could also cut prevalence of disability linked to diet-related disease and help tackle the climate crisis again, James. I'm surprised my phrase food world order isn't more popular. James?
Agreed. Riddle me that, Batman. Well, maybe it will be after the food transition, food transition gets underway in earnest, but maybe it already is. So first up, I think I should give total credit for these food transition stories to off-guardian.org. All of these were contained in their most recent This Week in the New Normal post that they do basically every week, updating people on a number of stories, and they have been keeping track of this food transition eat the bugs agenda for many, many months now. So I will direct people there for all these stories on an ongoing, continuing basis. But as you might suspect, if you do follow Off Guardian or the Corbett Report or other independent news, Media Monarchy, etc., I think this is an important part of what is on the table, pun intended, for our future, if the World Economic Forum and their cohort have their way. So if you are new to this, if you just fell off the turnip truck yesterday, you got some catching up to do. I would suggest you go back, for example, to my recent propaganda watch on Eat the Bugs or You're Racist. Or, of course, type in the future of food into my search engine and you will find a series of articles that I wrote last year on this very subject, don't worry, if you're not the reading type, I will put it in a more viewing-friendly way for you in the very near future. Hint, hint, hint. But yes, we are obviously being steered into a food transition that is going to affect what is, I hate to use it again, but what is on the table in the future in the most literal sense. Having said that, one other thing that I think is of relevance here that I'll throw in, a Corbett Report member, Alexis Baden-Meyer, has a Substack, the Scamerican Century, in which he recently wrote about scamdemic bird flu, vaccines for 30 billion chickens, digital food rationing, and the end of animal agriculture, talking about the new bird flu scam scare that they're trying to gin up and how that is, regardless of its reality or lack thereof, is already starting to affect the food supply with these giant cullings and will only get worse as they continue to push on that particular lever. So get ready, folks, because we probably have not seen anything yet when it comes to the great food transition.
I've met her. I interviewed her. Alexis Baden-Meyer.
I should have known that. Okay.
She was at it was called Seeds for Justice conference that was in Seattle. Man, that's probably been over a dozen years ago. It actually had Vandana Shiva there as well. I ran back into Alexis Baden-Meyer, I think, on the crumbling Twitter. And I saw her name, and I saw that she was tweeting about the COVID scamdemic. And it was just like, thank you. Like, at least there's some people who used to protest the food in Monsanto like we used to, who didn't drink the Kool-Aid and go all in for the Fauci sauce. She has pretty much, as I would imagine, most people, once you get into this, is like, there ain't no turning around. You're not going to dip a toe in and go, oh, well, I'm just going to go back to normal. I guess some, of course, do, or we wouldn't be in this situation we're in. James, I'll try and dig up the links. That goes pretty way back in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. I think that's maybe going to be 2012. And speaking of working with folks, a guy named Gavin Mouncey, gavinmouncey.substack.com, he's been doing actually a monthly segment on My Morning Monarchy called the Mouncey Minute. And so, as you noted, if people are just getting turned on to this, there's steps. You're not the first person to start to get into this. It might be a little advanced, but we were talking about edible plants and eating weeds this morning, forageable things that you can do. And man, up here in northern New Mexico, it seems like we've got a lot of useful things just growing in the yard. Do you still have a Corbett Report Extras channel? I know you were saying that you might have something more visual coming up as a version, but
The Extras channel was my secondary YouTube channel that was scrubbed after my main channel was scrubbed, but then was mysteriously given back to me with no warning or explanation. So it is technically still up there on YouTube, and all of those videos are still there, but I don't post to it, I don't use it at this point. But yes, what I'm talking about will be just through the regular old CorbettReport.com. People don't have to worry about anything regarding other channels or anything else. Just go to CorbettReport.com.
Sorry, now I've Corbett's on YouTube. Everybody rushed back there. They'll be like, well, oh, sorry about that. Big mouth strikes again. Our third and final story on This New World Next Week, episode 552, is going to be a bit of a batch of updates. Now, James, back in the day when I was at the FM radio station, I was talking with Cassie about this earlier, it was my only media outlet was still doing our New World Next Week because I was helping produce commercial radio as my regular day job. So I put a lot into that era of New World Next Week episodes. Those are the ones that have tons of links and lots of my asides and connections. And I used to do updates. And I think people really want and do need that, and they don't get it from the mainstream media. Follow-up? Subtext? So that's something we're going to try and do here real briefly, and I'll tell you why once we go through this final segment. Update one, and this is a recent one, massive climb down from the World Health Organization as the latest draft of their IHR amendments drop almost all offending aspects. So the heat was on them too much, and they got rid of a lot of the hated parts, kind of like they did for the Ukraine-Israel aid package of $95 billion they just passed here in the States. Massive climb down from the World Health Organization of their latest IHR amendments. And we do have the PDF for you and the flashback. Only to last week in Japan, tens of thousands protest World Health Organization's supernatural grab over global health. So James, our episode must have gone viral and had a giant effect. Meanwhile, I love this one. It was my story of 2023. The anti-ULEZ campaigners, ULEZ, the ultra-low emission zones, that are turning places in the UK basically into 15-minute cities and forcing you to buy a better car so you don't pollute. There's surveillance boxes all around, and people have been just destroying them, smashing them, chopping down the poles, doing whatever. Really interesting one. Anti-ULEZ campaigners hang bat boxes on cameras to stop engineers from fixing them, because under their same laws, bats are a protected species no matter what, no question. You can't mess with them, you can't mess with their homes. So they put bat homes on these spy boxes, and the cops legally can't actually do anything with them. That is monkey wrench in the New World Order, and again, using their rules against them. And hopefully that'll even wake up some of those folks who work for that system. They might go, this is dumb. That is the flashback to New World Next Week, New World Next Year, rather, 2024. That was my story of 2023. It's looking like it's a pretty good story for 2024 as well. Update number three, controversial CRISPR scientists back at work after jail time for creating genetically modified babies. They must have gave him some time in a cage, James. This one goes back all the way to 2018 on New World Next Week. Scientist announces gene-edited babies goes missing. So I guess that's all good. He's all back to work now, hopefully making some, you know, gain of function babies. BRICS-I stablecoins and CBDC bridge to advance financial integration. The digital integration continues. And the flashback to New World Next Week, episode 523, 22 new countries join BRICS alliance at August summit? Our update number five, Ukrainian officer linked to Nord Stream sabotage vanishes. I heard he crashed into that bridge in Baltimore. There was fake news going around that some Ukrainian was the guy that wrecked the barge into the bridge. Insurers suggest government possibly have ruined Nord Stream. And the flashback, false flag planted in Nord Stream pipeline. Update number six, Google appears to have partnered with the company behind Sports Illustrated fake AI-generated writers. More and more, James, think poor Sports Illustrated again. Not a huge draw anymore. I wonder if they were just the little guinea pig that got busted too soon, as a lot of these situations, it's like, no, wait, we're working on the drill. We're not ready to go live. our flashback to New World Next Week, episode 536, Sports Illustrated published articles by fake AI-generated writers. James, that is a whole batch of updates. What do you think?
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but WHO massive climb down is fake news, fake news, fake news. So for people who want the real skinny on that, I will direct them to Meryl Ness's Substack, where she has a post up. Door to Freedom team shines a light on how little has really changed in the new version of the April 2024 amended international health regulations, where she notes people said surveillance and censorship, control of misinformation and disinformation has been removed. Not so. They're just moved to an annex and inserted elsewhere on page 45. So what if the term non-binding is no longer crossed out? The document is still binding on nations due to other language, the requirement to report back to the WHO on how well nations are complying, and the new Compliance and Implementation Committee, which will ride herd on nations that do not comply. And she's got the receipts to back it up, all of the screenshots of all of the relevant parts with the highlights of all the language. So unfortunately, no, fake news. Do not back down. Do not lay down, GI. Don't worry, the WHO things. We defeated it. No, unfortunately not. But there are hopeful things happening. As we pointed out last week, as we covered with the Japanese protests, and as I talked about with Meryl Ness on my most recent appearance with her on Good Morning CHD, WHO, What You Need to Know. I'll throw that in the show notes if people hadn't seen that. But we do go through some of the positive things that are happening and some positive moves that are happening on the chessboard right now as we approach May of 2024, which is the big goal that they have set for themselves at the WHO, the World Health Assembly, that's coming up at the end of May in Geneva. And while we're on updates, I'll throw in an update of my own, an update this time to New World Next Week 550, where a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember we were covering China trying to gain space through force, U.S. Admiral says. Well, here's just one of the many, many stories that have come along since that are along those lines. U.S. to convert Pacific oil rigs into military bases as part of anti-China buildup, coming from antiwar.com. So anyway, that story continues on. And yes, it is important to go back, update, continue to cover stories, because as you say, one of the worst things that the MSM does is not to just report lies, but to report little contextless pieces of truth here and there that they never connect into the bigger picture.
All right, those are our updates, James. Let's go to newworldnextweek.com, where actually Casbot makes a note that the Corbett Report shirts, the t-shirts that we have, are the old logo. Collector's items in the making. So very limited supply. We only actually have extra small, small and large, and Casbot notes they're unisex sizes. So generally, women might want to size up if they're in between. Dudes might want to size down if they're in between. There is measurements and a whole thing right there on the store at newworldnextweek.com. Then, once you have those collector's items, we'll have the new Brock logo Corporate Report shirts coming soon. I don't know if I'll make a Media Monarchy toque or anything. Remember, I play the exclusive audio of this New World Next Week episode that you are listening to right now before it is published anywhere. I have the exclusive first run of New World Next Week after my Thursday Morning Monarchy. Sorry, it's the gross Thursday show, but it is worth it. And you'll hear the brand new exclusive New World Next Week audio after that. James, that is New World Next Week episode 552. Little deprogramming note.
Yeah, I was just going to say, did we miss the update there? Yes. So the reason we're going through updates and rounding things up is because, as far as I'm aware, we are not going to be on next week. Is that right?
Correct. We are not going to be on. It's Golden Week in Japan, man.
Exactly. Right. It's Golden Week. So I'll be just working on other stuff. But anyway, I'll still have stuff coming out on CorbettReport.com, but we will not be doing New World next week. Next week.
And I believe I am going to take a little time off the air myself. We actually do a members-only hangout on the last Monday of the month. That is coming up. So I feel like I need a little break again as spring starts to sprung out here. There's so much to do outside. James, you are having a kick watching Media City Monarchy guy slowly turn into country cowboy. There are cows in the backyard, James. I think it's a good change. I dig it. So that is New World Next Week, episode 552, buddy. I hope you have a fantastic golden week, and I will speak to you soon.
Awesome. Take care.
You too, buddy. Thanks.